today as we come to the table.
You're fishing in waters you know you're not supposed to be fishing in. You're in a boat that you know you have no business being in. You're doing things you know that if the Lord, and I say if the Lord saw, he sees everything. But if you recognize he was standing there watching you and you heard his voice say to you, Mark, what are you doing there? Then at the same time, the Lord's going to begin to say, it's time to come back to shore. You're going to be very anxious to get back if you walk with the Lord any length of time. Why? Because you know his mercy. You fear him because you know his greatness, but you know his mercy. And it's not this thing, God's going to get me. It's like, I need to get back to God and let God purify me and cleanse me. And Peter has that heart this time. And I love it because, again, that's the Lord that we serve.
After Peter denied Jesus three times, a wave of sadness and despair washed over him. When Jesus showed up in front of the disciples, Peter dashed over to him without a moment's hesitation. He felt a deep sense of relief, knowing that his Lord had extended forgiveness to him. Do you sense any similarities? Even when you stumble and stray, God doesn't just turn his back on you. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark tells you about the incredible grace and mercy that God offers to you. Peter had a feeling deep down that Jesus would forgive him. No matter how you stumble, Jesus is always there, ready to offer you forgiveness. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 21, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to John chapter 21, really verses 7 through 14 today. But I want to start in verse 3 and read through that because we kind of need a running go for this and start tearing it down and looking at it verse by verse here. But notice what it says in John chapter 21, verse 3. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, well, we're going with you also. And they went out immediately and got into a boat that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and he plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. And as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. And Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them and likewise the fish. And this was the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Fishing in forbidden waters. You know, even if we're not fishermen, we probably have all seen the signs at one time or another that says no fishing. Now, you fishermen, you hate that sign. It's kind of like if you want to go hunting and there's a no hunting sign. It's kind of like you maybe pretend you don't see it, but you know you'll get in trouble. Either it's dangerous or it's on private property or it's highly regulated. The bottom line is they are forbidden waters. And there are some places that the Lord puts up certain limits in our lives that we're to stay clear of because he knows it's not good for us. And God will show it to us in our heart. And he'll post a sign in our heart that says no fishing. And by the way, sometimes it's areas where maybe your freedom in Christ would allow you had the Lord said, or rather not said, no fishing allowed. So we have to guard ourselves against areas that we're free in Christ, but God has told us not to go there. And then we have to guard against obvious areas that all believers should stay away from because we're going to end up in a mess we don't want to be in. And oftentimes it manifests itself in simply us trying to go back to the old life before Jesus in some form and fashion, which is not healthy. And that's exactly where we find Peter today. Although he knew the Lord had resurrected and his eternal hope had been restored, in waiting for the Lord's next move in his life, he didn't see the results as quickly as he was hoping to see them, or maybe the way he thought they would see them. And he was tempted to go back to the old life. And maybe you've been there. You expect God to do certain things. It hasn't happened yet. Or maybe it hasn't happened in the way you thought it should happen. Or maybe it's just things have grown a little bit cold for whatever the reason. And you start looking back to the old life. And isn't it amazing how our mind can remember oftentimes the fun times of the old life, but not the bad times. The Lord never wants us to go back, ever. He always wants us to be moving forward. And so this is a lesson that Peter had to learn and the disciples had to learn, because he's going to send them into the world to preach the gospel. They don't have time to go back and do the things they had done before. And plus, it would get them into trouble. But in his temporary disillusionment with what God was doing in his life, he began looking back and wondering, you know, God, what are you doing? When are you going to do it? I know I used to fish. I can do this. I feel comfortable. And I think sometimes it's easy to be tempted to go back into the world to do the things that maybe we used to feel comfortable doing. But the thing is, once we do that, we're going to find out we're not comfortable there anymore. It's interesting. You know, we get too much of the Lord in us to enjoy the world, and too much of the world in us to enjoy the Lord oftentimes. And it's a miserable place to be. We've got to get back where God wants us to be and walking in a full, sold out heart to him. See, there's no place in Peter's life or in our life waffling in our purpose that God has for us, especially Peter and really all of us in this room, because we've been called now to be leaders for the kingdom of God. And you might say, well, I've not been called to be a leader. If you know the Lord, he's called you to be a leader. You may not be up in front of people. You may not lead some big ministry like Holt International or whatever the case might be, but God's called you to be a leader for righteousness, a leader for good, a leader for the Lord. And so Peter didn't have time for this. He was no longer to be a fisher of fish. He was now called to be a fisher of men. And that is, he could not do that old profession anymore. God had called him to something else. But during the time of confusion and waiting, Peter went back and started fishing in an area that he had no business being in. And this is always a dangerous place for us to be and to go. Maybe you're in a time of confusion. Maybe you're in a time of waiting. Maybe you're disillusioned about what you thought your life would be. I think it can get harder for those that have walked in the Lord longer, because the older we get, and even if you've not walked in the Lord, the older you get, the zest of life begins to leave. Things aren't as new as they used to be. Things aren't as exciting as they used to be. You know, I can remember as a kid hearing that old Rolling Stones song. You know, I can't get no satisfaction, right? And the Stones would sing that song or whatever. And here's the thing. As I've gotten older, I know what they meant now. I get it. The older you get, what they're doing is they're basically saying, you know what, being on the road, doing the music, having the fame, getting all the attention, it just doesn't do for me what it used to do. When I was young, it was exciting and I was important and I was on top of the world. But you know what? Now that I'm like, what, 150, 160, it just doesn't seem the same to me anymore, is what the Stones would say today. And so the bottom line is, I think that song was born truly out of a true heart. Whoever wrote it, I don't know the story behind it. But the older I get, the more I understand it. This world will never satisfy. It will give us a temporary satisfaction. It will have some fun little flings for a moment. But as time goes by, we're empty. And it leaves us empty. And Peter, again, did this very quickly. He wasn't old, you know, so to speak. But the bottom line is, Peter, because he'd already failed the Lord radically. And he wasn't, you know, things weren't the way that he thought they were going to be. And it hadn't turned out at this point, the resurrection, and suddenly the Lord's gone again. What's going to be our next instructions? And he decides, I'm going to go back and start dabbling in the old life. I'm going to fish a little bit in the old things I used to fish in. And this is often where it gets very dangerous, because sometimes we think we're just going to drop a line to see what's going to happen. And the Lord hadn't asked us to drop a line back in the world. And sometimes we can even go farther than what we should. You know, again, for the little fishing that I've done and do, and some of you fish a lot, so you know what I'm talking about. The farther you throw that thing, the more exciting it is that you might catch something. The more time it has to bounce on top of the water, to go in a deeper area, the more chance there is of maybe getting something. And so it gets exciting. And it may come at a time in your life when there's a lull in the marriage, when the zest of life, as we said, has faded. And maybe we just kind of, you know, drop a line, or we go, if you will, online into social media. And you know, the problem with dropping a line or casting a net on the internet, the problem with that is sometimes you catch some things you didn't mean to catch. Here's the danger. You cast a line out there. You know, I don't really want to catch anything. I'm married and I know I shouldn't really even be fishing in this area, but things are kind of dry and the zest, I don't have the zest I used to have anymore for life. And so, and all of a sudden, oh wow, Facebook, oh wow. So I hadn't seen him in a long time. I remember back in high school, wow. Oh, well, look, wow, looks like he's single. Something happened with his marriage. Oh, he wants to friend me? Oh, wow, maybe I could. And before you know it, you're either getting hooked or you're hooking something that you shouldn't be hooking because you shouldn't be where you're not supposed to be. It's a dangerous place. And as a pastor, I have seen this over the years more than one time. And it's something we have to be very careful of. Now, I use the terminology. I played with the words internet and all this online, dropping a line, because it's a very easy one to drop in there, so to speak. But the reality is it can happen anywhere. It can happen at the office. And oftentimes it happens again whenever we're searching for something because it just doesn't feel the same. And so, again, the problem is when you cast that net in unknown waters, you may catch something you don't want to catch, and that can have a lot of different meanings to it. For one fisherman, it was supposed to be another day on the water catching shrimp. However, what surface was much more terrifying than he could have ever imagined? Fishing roughly 10 miles off of Key West, Captain Moore was pulling up his shrimp nets when he realized it was much heavier than usual. As the net breached the surface, he realized something large and very angry was thrashing inside the net. Let's just say it wasn't a supersized shrimp. Captain Moore quickly released the net, dumping its contents on the deck of the boat. At first, he couldn't understand what he was seeing. The creature looked like a shark, but had a monstrous snout, strange razor-sharp teeth, and an odd frilly fin. Curiosity took over, and Captain Moore managed to get closer to the strange creature. He was shocked by its ugly appearance, as if a shark had somehow deflated and become a saggy shell. Its teeth were protruding out of a terrifying-looking jaw as well. Unfortunately, Captain Moore took one step too close, and the angry creature quickly thrashed around, violently snapping his jaws at the fisherman and narrowly missing him. Moore jumped back out of its way, realizing this predator meant business, and there was no way he would keep it. So he knew the only thing he could do is take some pictures and throw it back in the sea. When he showed the pictures to the authorities, it was identified as a very rare goblin shark, and now you can see what he looks like. This happened here just recently. Now, this right here was quite the surprise. When this guy was fishing somewhere he didn't need to be fishing, he caught something that was much more dangerous than he ever imagined. And the problem is with us, when we're fishing where we're not supposed to be fishing, guys, sometimes we pull up things that will destroy us. And this is a lesson that we've got to learn as believers in the Lord. Peter needed to learn this lesson. The disciples needed to learn this lesson. We need to learn this lesson. And so the Lord is now going to begin to say, Peter, you're fishing in forbidden waters. I called you out of there. Get away from it. Let's jump into it. Starting in verse 7, look what happens. We take up in the middle of the story. As we already read, the Lord called out to them, have you caught any fish? They said, no, Lord, we haven't caught anything. They didn't say Lord. They didn't know who he was. But no, we haven't caught anything. He tells them to throw the net on the other side. They find something. And when they do that, this large catch of fish comes in. Well, now John at this point realizes, hey, this is no ordinary man. And no doubt it brought back amazing memories from when Jesus one time, again, talking to Peter, and they just come in from fishing all night. They were mending their nets. The crowd was massive. They're in Luke chapter 5. And Jesus said, you know what? Get in your boat and cast out off the shore. I want to teach these people. So Peter says, sure, you're the Lord. He gets in the boat and casts off the shore. The Lord begins to teach the people, has a great teaching time there with the people so the crowd wouldn't be, again, crushing him. And they all hear what he had to say. And then the Lord, as if to say, all right, I'll pay now my use of your boat. Cast out deeper into the water. Cast your nets. And we're going to get a catch. He's like, you know, Peter's thinking, Lord, look, you're a pastor, and I appreciate your wisdom and knowledge. I'm a fisherman. And Peter didn't say this, because you have to wonder what's going through his mind, okay? And so he's like, Lord, at your word, you know, we've been fishing all night, but Lord, at your word, we'll go out and we'll cast the nets, because in the daytime is when the fish went deeper due to the sunlight, so typically you wouldn't catch any. But at your word, Lord, you will do this. He goes out, and you remember what happens. They throw the nets over. They get so many fish, their nets are breaking. And so again, Peter realizes this is no ordinary man. This is a supernatural man. He falls before the Lord, knowing now, convicted of his sin, realizing this is something of God. And he says, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. And Jesus said, no, 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 it's okay, Peter. From now on, you're going to be a fisher of men. I'm going to change you. I'm going to make you into a man of God. And so Peter was kind of trapped and had to be there. What's exciting about this story is this time the Lord's going to do the same miracle, which John's going to recognize and identify the Lord. And I'd love to see what Peter does. Rather than running from the Lord, this time he runs to the Lord because he understands the Lord's forgiveness and God's mercy, even when he's fishing in forbidden waters and places that he shouldn't be. And verse 7, therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. So John tells him, it's the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. You got to love Peter. You got to love him. This guy was always, he was an all or nothing type guy. Peter was not half-hearted about anything. And that can be great. It can be bad. It's great in the fact that nothing holds you back. I'm going for it. I'm going to do this. It's bad in the fact that oftentimes personalities like that are kind of shoot, you know, fire aim, so to speak. I mean, it's like after the fact, they think, why did I do that? I shouldn't have done that. I kind of did this in reverse mode, so to speak. And that was Peter. But in this one, it was okay. You know, Peter's enthusiasm, no doubt, is a blessing to the Lord. And Peter, why would he plunge in like that? Because again, Peter, no doubt, in his heart felt guilty. He knew he wasn't supposed to be doing that. The Lord didn't say, go back up there and go back to your old business and start fishing again. He said, go wait on me up there at a mountain that I've appointed for you, and then I'm going to show up later. And Peter also, still feeling guilty about his denial and realizing what he had done, plunges into the water. And again, it reminds you of the thing, Lord, you know, he says, you know, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, I have no part in you. He said, then give me a bath. You know, throw it, come on, just go for it. Again, you have to love the zeal that Peter had in this reckless abandon. But at the same time, what I love about it is Peter this time had that reckless abandon to run to him. Why? Because he learned his forgiveness. He'd learned about his mercy. He knew his goodness. And see, some of you, you're fishing in waters you know you're not supposed to be fishing in. You're in a boat that you know you have no business being in. You're doing things you know that if the Lord, and I say if the Lord saw, he sees everything. But if you recognize he was standing there watching you and you heard his voice say to you, Mark, what are you doing there? Then at the same time, the Lord's going to begin to say, it's time to come back to shore. You're going to be very anxious to get back if you walk with the Lord any length of time. Why? Because you know his mercy. You fear him because you know his greatness, but you know his mercy. And it's not this thing, God's going to get me. It's like, I need to get back to God and let God purify me and cleanse me. And Peter has that heart this time. And I love it because, again, that's the Lord that we serve. There's always the mercy and the grace if we will simply run back to him. And as we said last, I love the fact that Peter wasn't afraid the Lord was going to chastise him. He didn't get to the bank. I can't believe you're out there pitching again. He's smacking him. Peter's doing this, you know. He's just smiling, waiting on him. Peter, I've got something so wonderful for you here. Just come back. And that's the same thing the Lord said to us. It says to us, again, if you're out there and you know you're out in places you shouldn't be, just come back. He's waiting and he won't beat you. He's going to love you and restore you. Now, notice it says he put on his outer garment. I find this amusing to some degree, but I understand it. That is, they would wear an outer robe, and then they'd wear their undergarments. And the undergarments were not necessarily like ours. If we took off, you know, the outer, then we don't want to be walking around, so to speak, you know, in our undergarments. But they would have a little bit more of a covering for the undergarments. But they'd have an outer jacket they would wear because it was cold that time of year. Remember, Peter had been warming himself at the enemy's fire just a couple of weeks prior to this, or however long this has been since the resurrection. And so it was no doubt cold that night. Peter has this thing on, but as he's fishing, you know what happens. He's throwing the nets, they're pulling them all night. He begins to get hot. He's like, I can't take this thing. He takes it off, sets it down, and they continue to fish. Now he sees the Lord. It wouldn't be appropriate to go back to the Lord, you know, half dressed. So Peter grabs his outer garment, puts it on, dives in the water. And I think about Peter again. I live these things out in my mind. So I imagine Peter just waterlogged. It's going to tell us in a minute he was about 300 feet off of shore. And so he's swimming in, sloshing in this big bathrobe, so to speak, you know, coming in to see the Lord and getting weighed down by this and all this. And again, it's interesting, although Peter knew he had to get back to the Lord, and Peter's going to get back to the Lord, all the consequences in being in places we're not supposed to be are not always removed. And Peter now has this weight, if you will, slogging through the water to get back to the Lord. And then I picture Peter sitting there when he gets back, and we'll get to that next week, where the Lord's going to restore Peter to full restoration for his denials. And I imagine them, Peter sitting there freezing to death, and good thing the Lord had a fire going, because now it was not only cold, now Peter's wrapped in this, you know, wet, you know, robe, so to speak, and sitting there, you know, could have been shivering or whatever. And the consequences that he had to go through because he was fishing in places that he shouldn't be fishing, that he was somewhere he shouldn't have been. Listen, consequences are not bad. I don't like consequences any more than you do. But consequences can be a good thing. The consequences that I faced after I got in trouble that God used to bring me to the Lord, I wouldn't trade those consequences. They taught me a lot of things, and God allowed me to go through those consequences so that I would learn when I live a certain way away from God, there's going to be a penalty to pay. It's not punishment, it's consequence. And some of you, you've got consequences in your life, and God's allowed them to continue on. Not because he doesn't love you, but because he wants you to understand there's a consequence to living away from God, and there's blessing living with God. And Peter, again, now learning this in a very graphic way, a very cold way, if you will. And again, Peter here also, again, I think it shows a good quality in Peter, because not only did Peter, again, notice that he needed to get back to the Lord, but he showed a real zeal to get back to the Lord. So although Peter did veer off temporarily, when the Lord said, Peter, what are you doing? He came right back running. And that's a quality that we should all desire. When we find ourselves veering off, that God will bring us back to the place where we're supposed to be. And so Peter leaves the fishing and the boat behind as quickly as possible to run to the Lord. The obvious question to us is, what boat has the Lord told us to leave behind, and we're still sitting in it fishing in places we're not supposed to be fishing? You've already come to the Lord. He's already revealed himself to you. He's already said, repent and turn from these things and come back to me. And instead, it's back out in the boat and casting the line. Now, again, the application is to whatever your fishing is. It's not about fishing or that fishing's wrong. You get the point. But like Peter, it's time to jump out with reckless abandon and get back to the Lord. Now, again, here's kind of a little bit amusing about the story. Notice what happens here. Verse 8 says, but the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Now, I know they had to bring the boat in to bring the fish in, and they were probably excited to get the fish in as well as they were excited to see the Lord. But again, at the same time, had Peter just kind of had a little bit of patience, he wouldn't have had to been soaking wet. But again, it's because of Peter's lack of patience here that endears you to Peter. It's this reckless abandon and heart for the Lord. But again, 200 cubits, about 300 feet. And so Peter, desperate to get in because of his failure with the Lord up to this point. And notice, as soon as they had come to land, they saw the fire of coals there, the fish laid on it, and the bread. Now, it's interesting to me, notice this. Here they've been out all night trying to fill something that's missing. And they're empty. But they're searching so hard. How many people go out at night, searching all night to fill something empty? Whether it's with the buddies, whether it's at the bars. I'm not talking so much about believers, although that can happen. I'm talking about the world out there searching so desperately. Something fill me. Something satisfy my heart. And because it doesn't satisfy the heart, it's the same thing every night over and over until their lives are destroyed. The sad thing is when a believer falls into that, we begin to fall away from the Lord. And what do? We go back into the world, back into that life, trying to find something to satisfy because it's just not the way it used to be. But notice this. Once they got to shore and to Jesus, notice what they found. They found everything they'd been searching for so long all that night, waiting on them the whole time, and it was already prepared. What's my point? All of the things we try so hard to fill our heart and our life with, apart from Jesus, will always leave us empty, frustrated, and tired. But if we will simply abandon that failed life from before, run back to the shore where Jesus is waiting, we will find not only the Lord waiting on us, but everything we need waiting there on the shore to fill the emptiness. A warm fire, something to eat, and the presence of the Lord. It doesn't get any better than that.
Thanks for joining us today on Come to the Table. The voice you've just heard is none other than that of Pastor Mark Kirk. Come to the Table is an outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. Pastor Mark is currently teaching verse by verse through the New Testament book of John. This is one of the four gospel books of the Bible. What that means is that it's one of four accounts of the life and ministry of Jesus while here on earth. John brings up many miracles and proofs of Jesus being both God and man. Jesus met with people. He got tired, he cried, and he had a biological family. But he also performed miracles, raised people from the dead, and fed a crowd of people with one boy's small portion of food that multiplied. These two worlds colliding between his humanity and being the God of the universe can be hard for us to wrap our minds around. But John's eyewitness accounts of these happenings make it all the more convincing. To listen to more teachings like this one, head over to thewaymedia.net. If you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love for you to come to Calvary Knoxville this Sunday. We want to meet you. Find service times at thewaymedia.net. Scroll down the page to find a link to Calvary Knoxville. As our time comes to a close today, We want you to know that we're thankful for you, and we pray that these messages make an impact in your daily life. Join us next time as Pastor Mark continues to teach more about the life and ministry of Jesus. There are so many things we can gain from following Jesus' example that he laid out for us in his word. That's all for today on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.